We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 365, 365 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You may use your credit card if you wish. That's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We're starting a new series of broadcasts on this weekly broadcasting system, and it's going to be called Dr. M.R. DeHaan, the founder of the Radio Bible Class, and his stand on Bible versions and perversions. Bible versions and perversions. On September 26, 1994, when our broadcasts are being made, I called on the telephone to Miss or Mrs. Ann Bierma, and she's the editor of the Radio Bible Class publications. And I asked her, I said, I have a copy of Dr. DeHaan's booklet on Bible versions and perversions. Would you mind if I copy it for any friend that may want it or whatever? And she said, yes, but be sure to put in it that it was copied with permission of the Radio Bible Class. And so I have this document. I want to go over it because Dr. DeHaan was a very dear friend of mine. I may not have been a dear friend of his, but he was a dear friend of mine. He was the one who was the teacher of the Detroit Bible Class, Detroit, Michigan, when I was a student at University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I loved that man, and I appreciated his stand. I appreciated everything he said. I used to get all of his booklets that he broadcast, and all of the things I used to learn the Word of God from that man. And he was the one, through his ministry, as he taught us the book of Hebrews in the Detroit Bible Class every week, Friday nights. And I would drive with the chief chef at the University of Michigan's hospital division. He was a chef over there. He would drive us young men, who were Christian young men, in his car over there to Detroit, Michigan, from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we would listen to Dr. M.R. DeHaan, the teacher of the Radio Bible Class at that time. And he was our teacher of the Detroit Bible Class every Friday night. I remember those days. And it was through his ministry that I changed from a calling which I thought the Lord had given to me after I was saved of pre-medical work, because he was a doctor himself before he came into the ministry and was a preacher and a pastor at times. And I was headed for the medical, I thought maybe medical missionary work. And so when Dr. DeHaan preached God's word to such a great extent and so faithfully, and as I'd read his booklets and as I'd be under his influence, God called me into his full-time Christian ministry. And it was through that man's ministry that I was called into the Savior's work. And so I have a great respect for Dr. DeHaan. In fact, our chef, who took us different ones, the young men at the University of Michigan to the Detroit Bible Class, he took us one time to Dr. DeHaan's home. Mr. McRoberts was his name. Mr. McRoberts. And I think his first name was David. I believe it's McRoberts, or it's something, McSomething. He was a Scotchman. And he took us, he knew Dr. DeHaan very well over the many years. He's with the Lord now, both these men are. And he took us young men, I think there was another man, don't remember his name, the two of us, to Dr. DeHaan's home one time. And we met him, and we met his wife personally. And I asked him, in fact, Dr. DeHaan, where should I go to seminary? This was not just a fleeting acquaintance. This was a man that I looked up to as a young man. Where should I go to seminary? I was in college at the time. I changed my major from pre-medical major with all of the chemistry and math and all of the other things that I had to have, and physics and organic and inorganic chemistry and zoology and biology. I changed And I began to major in the Greek language, classical Greek and Latin. It's what I ended up at University of Michigan majoring in because I had changed my whole course, my whole life. And it was because of Dr. M.R. DeHaan, teacher of the radio Bible class and founder of that radio Bible class, that this had taken place. So we met him. And I asked him, I said, Dr. DeHaan, what is the best school to go to prepare me for the ministry if I feel the Lord is calling me? He said, well, there's Eastern Baptist, which is not too good. There's Northern Baptist, which is not too good. At that time, that was back in 1945 and 46 and 47. At that time, these others were not as bad as they are now. But he said he thought Dallas Theological Seminary was the best one. And so I went to Dallas. Of course, Dallas has turned and changed, and it's downhill as far as I'm concerned now. But I chose Dallas Theological Seminary because of Dr. DeHaan's recommendation. He told me about his sons. He told me about his son Richard, who went to Wheaton College. And I don't think he thought as much of Wheaton as the other. I'm not sure. He didn't say. And then he told me about his other son, who went to Bob Jones University. And these children of his, he mentioned when we were in his home and talked about his sons and where they went to school and so on. So as I begin this series of broadcasts on Dr. M.R. DeHaan, founder of the radio Bible class, on Bible versions and perversions, I want you to know that it is out of great respect to Dr. DeHaan and the great sadness that I have that the present radio Bible class has departed from Dr. DeHaan in regard to his position and stand on Bible versions. Now, the last months or so, and by the way, if you're interested in any of these other radio broadcasts that we made exposing the present radio Bible class's position on the versions and perversions, you may write to us. And we'll tell you how you may receive those cassette copies. They're in cassette form, and we'll be glad to tell you how you may receive them. Or you may call us at our order phone number, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And ask how you can get the copy of the series of that. Now, you can get this series when it's finished also in cassette form, Bible versions and perversions. But here's what I wrote. They said you must put this in the front of any copy that you make. And I did, and I honored that. September 26, 1994, to whom it may concern, this booklet has been copied with permission this date by telephone conversation with Ann Bierma, B-I-E-R-E-M-A, who is the editor of the Radio Bible Class Publications, unquote. And for that reason, I called because I want to be sure. Now, let me continue. Let me go into the stand that Dr. M.R. DeHaan has on the Bible versions and perversions. It's a great stand. And this Bible for Today ministry stands in regard to the King James Bible and on the regard to the Bible versions and perversions where Dr. DeHaan stood, the founder of the Radio Bible Class. And so let me say something positive about the old Radio Bible Class and the original founder and the original teacher on all the radio stations. And this was delivered, by the way, over the Mutual and the ABC radio networks, Bible versions and perversions. Here's the way he starts out. I'm just going to comment here from time to time as we move along. And this may take a few weeks or maybe a few months, who knows. But he begins by saying the first revised version of the Word of God was made some 6,000 years ago. Did you know that? Continue. Dr. DeHaan said the publisher of this new version of God's Word was Satan, the enemy of God, unquote. Now that's from page one, Bible versions and perversions. Did you get the import of that? The grasp that Dr. DeHaan had of the perversions and the perversity of the old devil. He realized that over 6,000 years ago, the publisher of the new version was Satan, the enemy of God. Let me continue. God had said, quote, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Genesis 2:16. The devil's new version was, quote, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Genesis 3, verse 1. Let me continue. This was the devil's perversion. It was the new version of God's word by Satan, the enemy of God. Let me continue. Quote, this was the first new version of God's word. And like so many since, was a perversion. When Eve tolerated this little correction, this tampering with God's word, the enemy became more bold and suggested that the entire word of God might be improved by an up-to-date revision or version. So he suggested an amplification of God's Word. Satan seems to say the meaning of the original is not too clear, needs some clearer interpretation. You must not take God's Word too literally. It must be symbolized and spiritualized in order to know what God really meant. You must have my amplified version of it. Here it is. Unquote from Dr. M. R. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class. Now, didn't you like that? He has some insight, does he not? And then he quotes the amplified version of the devil. He says, quote, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5. Now, let me go back to Dr. DeHaan. He says, that is what God really meant, suggests the enemy. Eve, says the old deceiver, you must not take things so literally. And Eve accepted the seemingly harmless help of Satan and believed the devil's interpretation of God's Word instead of the simple, thus saith the Lord. And this initial stroke of deception in the garden, however, was but the first skirmish in the battle of the book. Let me pause there, unquote. Dr. M. R. DeHaan is very clear, and he's very lucid, and he's very perspicuous, and he's very much in tune with what's happening today, even though he's been gone home to be with Christ many years ago. And yet, he knew in that initial time, way back as he broadcast this message, back in 1962, he had perspicuity and clarity of insight and heart and mind as to these new versions. And he said that was the first encounter, the first skirmish in the battle of the book. Let me continue. Quote, Dr. DeHaan said, relentlessly, persistently, from that day to this, Satan has been undermining faith in the Bible, casting doubt upon its veracity and authority, and reducing it to the level of profane and secular literature, to be classed only as another book among books, and not the book of books. Unquote. Let me pause right here. He is so true and so right, Dr. DeHaan, when he says he's casting doubt on the veracity and authority and undermining faith in the Bible. This is why we close every broadcast, whether it's the weekly or whether it's the daily broadcast of our Bible for Today ministry, and we said, this is Dr. D.A. Waite reminding you, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. And this confidence, this building Bible confidence, is what we have attempted to do. And this is what Dr. DeHaan was putting his finger on when he said that the old devil, Satan, has been undermining faith in the Bible and casting doubt upon its veracity and authority, and reducing it to the level of profane and secular literature to be classed only as another book among books and not the book of books. It is the book of books. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan said, quote, in many institutions of religious training, it is freely taught that faith in the literal account of creation as recorded in Genesis, is evidence of stark ignorance and pitiable stupidity. We hear would-be scholars, purporting to represent the intelligentsia, making the sweeping statement that no intelligent student of the Bible believes the literal account of the Genesis creation anymore. It's just an allegory. Now, that's what these men have said. Continuing, surely there is nothing new under the sun, for this silly statement harks way back to the Garden of Eden, unquote. Well, Dr. DeHaan is right on that. He is true, and he is actual, and he is believable. And that's exactly what's happened, is it not? Let me continue. On page 2 of his booklet, he talks about many attacks. Dr. DeHaan wrote, quote, Today, the attacks of Satan on the Word of God are cleverly disguised in the garb of progress, scholarship, and science, but are motivated by the same purpose of destroying the literal meaning of God's Word. These attacks take many forms, but are all aimed at discrediting God's Word. From outright undisguised attacks by infidels and atheists, to the well-meaning, sincere attempts of self-appointed defenders of the Bible who do not yet know that the book needs no apologies or defense. The Scriptures are weakened in the eyes of men. Unquote. That's so true. There are apostate infidels that attack strongly the whole Bible, and then there are well-meaning, self-appointed defenders that don't know the book needs no apologies, and the Scriptures are weakened by these men. Well, let me continue. Dr. DeHaan said, if the devil cannot convince man that the Bible is not the Word of God, he then tries another method. He keeps and seeks to keep the book out of the reach of man. He seeks to keep the book out of the reach of man. When Satan could not destroy the Bible, as in the days of the Inquisition in Holland, England, France, and Spain, he made people believe that the Bible was such a wonderful book that it was way beyond and above the intelligence of the average man. It was so profound that it could only be understood and interpreted by a specially trained, educated, authorized group, the so-called clergy. Unquote. Well, Dr. DeHaan's hitting the nail on the head on that one, isn't he? And that, of course, is what the Roman Catholic Church has done down through the centuries. And that's what the Protestant churches have done also. And that's what these NIV so-called scholars and these other versions and perversions of today have said. You don't understand what the originals mean, the Hebrew means, the Aramaic means, the Greek means. And so you poor benighted fools, you can't understand. We've got to interpret the Bible for you. And so we'll put an interpretation, a twist, a spin on it. And we will call that spin the New International Version, which is not so much word for word. It's not what God really said. It's the thought that God said, what He thinks. And we will interpret what He thinks. Although He didn't say it in His words, we will interpret it. We'll add from the Scriptures. We'll subtract from the Scriptures. We'll change the Scriptures. Because your book, your Bible, your King James Bible, you can't understand. And you shouldn't be looking at that. We've got to give you something new. Well, let me continue. Dr. DeHaan said, the layman was not able to understand and interpret the Scriptures. While they were not actually forbidden to read the Bible, they were to accept only the interpretation of this special group of so-called clergy. The church became the only final interpreter. The result was inevitable. If you cannot understand what you read, then why read it? It was but a repetition of the story of the fall. If Eve could not understand what God meant when He spoke and was not qualified to interpret it herself, then it became easy to accept the devil's interpretation. Unquote. Dr. DeHaan is right in that one also. If you can't understand something, you've got to go to somebody to get an interpretation to make you understand it. Ask the Lord to help you understand the King James Bible. Ask the Lord to give you insight. And you can ask other people, but listen, my friend, when you take another version or perversion and you call it the New International Version or the Amplified Version or the Revised Standard Version or New American Standard Version, New King James Version, New Berkeley, whatever the versions are, it's easy to accept the devil's interpretation when they say you can't understand it and you don't really believe you can understand it. Let me continue. And this evil is not just a page from history. It's a present evil. He wrote in 1962. He spoke in 1962. As I'm recording this, it's 1992 plus 2. It's 32 years after he wrote it, but it's still true. It's still a present evil. It's not just a page from history. Let me continue. Quote, how many people we have met who carry the notion that the Bible is a difficult and mysterious book, way over the head of the common man. Thousands of people seldom read and never study the book because they imagine that the Bible can be only understood and interpreted by preachers, teachers, Bible expositors, priests, and other specially trained authorities. The average Christian, therefore, accepts only what others think and spends little time or effort to study for himself. Unquote. Let me just stop there and say this. By the way, this is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking to you, if you tuned in late. We're from the Bible for Today Ministry at 900 Park Avenue in Collingswood, New Jersey. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. I am the door. That's John 10-9. I just want to remind you, we received only a 2 days, I think, or 3 days at the most ago, as this broadcast is being made, a letter from a man who was a missionary to India. And he asked the question, what version of the Bible should I use to teach those from India? He was thinking of all sorts of new versions and modern things because he said, now how readable, how understandable is the King James Bible? Well, I called him up the other day, and he called me back. He paid for the call. He didn't pay for that call. He told me to call and collect. He was concerned about it. And I said, sir, called him by name, do you know how readable the King James Bible really is? I said, my son, D.A. Jr., has just recently completed a 277-page analysis of the readability of 6 Bible versions of today. And he came out and studied those versions, and the 2 versions that he analyzed in the greatest perspective and the greatest degree were the 2 most important versions in our battle today for the Word of God. The first is the true version in the English language, the King James Bible. The second was the false version, the New International Version. And our son came up with this documentation, and he came to believe and to show by a chapter breakdown, 1,189 chapters, I believe it is, in the entire scripture, he found that with the computer study and the going through every word, every verse, chapter by chapter, 1,189 chapters, by chapters, the King James Bible is at a 7th grade level of comprehension, and so is the New International Version at the 7th grade. That's not too difficult to read or understand, is it? It's not too difficult. And I told this man from India, go ahead and use the King James Bible and teach those who are from India to understand real English, the real wonderful English of the King James Bible. It's tremendous English. And I said, are the people in India more stupid, more ignorant than those Christian believers in Africa? I said, I don't think that's the case at all. I think they're bound to be intelligent people like they were and like they are in Africa. Our fellow Christian believers, Pastor Joa and his churches and Mrs. Joa, were sharp, wonderful, intelligent Christian people. Yes, their native language was not English, but they understood enough English and they loved English enough, and they are using and reading from and studying from the King James Bible. And that's what I suggested that this man from India, the missionary, should use, the King James Bible. I said, there's going to be an edition come out. We hope it'll be sooner than later, written and edited by Dr. Robert Doom, where he's going to underline the various words that have changed their meanings and give the meanings in the margin. There have been several books like that and Bibles like that that have come out. But his is in the works now. He said the other day he's having to spend $5,000 more to help in that endeavor. He wants to try to finish the New Testament first, I believe, and then the Old. But the point of it is, I told this man from India that there was an article, and I mentioned this, maybe I didn't on the broadcast before, but there was an article in the Moody Monthly. I think the date is 1987. There was a picture on the front of the cover. And perhaps I will go after that article after I finish with Dr. DeHaan's positive stand against the versions and perversions of his day. Probably will go into that, but there is a diagram in that article. It says, choosing the version that fits. Words to that effect. And the diagram had the various versions with the readability and what grade that you could understand those versions. Do you know where the King James Bible was? It was way up on the 14th grade level in this chart, in this graph. Do you know where the New International Version was? Down about the 8th grade, between 7th and 8th grade. Do you know what the 14th grade of school would be? That's a sophomore in college. 12th grade is senior. 13th grade is freshman in college. 14th grade is sophomore in college, a second-year college student. Well, the Bible is easy to read. How could those who never went through the 5th or 6th grade understand God's Word in English if it was so difficult? But yet that's Satan's ploy. That's exactly what Dr. DeHaan mentioned. If you know that you can't understand something, you're not going to spend any time reading it, are you? And so this is a very good point. So I hope that I encouraged this gentleman to teach and to preach. I said there's great theological booby traps in these other versions. I don't care how readable you think they are. I don't care how they try to interpret God's Word and so that you won't understand what God said, just what Dr. So-and-so think he meant by what he said. Stick to the King James Bible book. That's God's Word kept intact in English. And he said that this another man, a friend of ours, Ray Jones, who does stand with the King James Bible and does stand with the Textus Receptus, Ray Jones, Dr. Ray Jones, told him to call to me and to see what I would say concerning these matters. And so we did, and we're glad for that. Well, let me continue. I ramble on and on about these other things. Let's get back to Dr. M. R. DeHaan's statement on versions and perversions. We're on page 3 now of his booklet. He says, quote, another subtle attempt to discredit the Word of God is by making it the butt of clever jokes, silly songs about the Bible characters. This loss of respect for God's Word is the result of an evil trend of these days. In the humble Christian home of my parents, we were taught absolute reverence for the Bible. When Father read the Bible, we sat with folded hands. We did not eat while the Bible was being read. No running from the table. Father was reading what God said, unquote. You know what he was reading from? The King James Bible. And he's right. Dr. DeHaan's right. His father was reading the King James Bible, and he's reading what God said. Let me continue. Quote, in the church, we were not allowed to whisper, crumple papers, shuffle our feet, or stick wads of gum under the pew, because the church was a sacred place, for there God's Word was preached. We never joked about Bible characters. We were not even permitted to use the word devil in vain. When I hear you say, all that was too puritanical. And too puritanic. And it smacks of Bible-olatry or Bibliolatry. Well, very well. Give me the Puritan extreme and respect for the Bible of those days rather than the God-dishonoring disrespect and loose handling of the book today, with its debasing of the Bible by silly songs, empty choruses, and unscriptural dramatizations of Bible scenes. Well, let me just pause right there and tell you, for listening and reading from dear old Dr. M. R. DeHaan's booklet, Bible Versions and Perversions, my faithful teacher, Detroit Bible class, one whom I respect, and I want you to understand that here's a man of God, way back in 1962, that told the same things that we're trying to tell you today. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get our book, Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 366, 366 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You may use your credit card if you wish, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, call us on a question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. And we're talking about, we'd like you to get our new book, by the way, our book called Defending the King James Bible. It's 340 pages in all. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy. But this is Bible versions and perversions. We're going over, we started this past month, or this past week, I guess it was, we started the Dr. M. R. D. Hahn, the founder of the Radio Bible Class, and his wonderful, wonderful series of messages in regard to Bible versions and perversions. He was right on target in regard to the perversity and the danger of the new versions of his day. And in 1962, he talked through the radio messages concerning this matter, and he's right on target even today. And we're very happy to be able to tell his own views of Bible translation. We're sorry that the Radio Bible Class of today has departed from Dr. DeHaan's views. We're sorry that they have gone astray, that they have led others astray, changing into some new thing. And having printed, as we mentioned in our last series of broadcasts, having printed this thing from the Bible Correspondence Department of the Radio Bible Class concerning the new versions, and saying that they are not changing any doctrines and all these other things that are really in error. Dr. DeHaan, as I mentioned last week, was a friend of mine. I was mainly not a friend of his, but he was one of our closest friends, my closest friend in the ministry, as he encouraged me by his Bible preaching and teaching in the Detroit Bible Class every Friday night as I was a student at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we went there with Brother David McRoberts. He took us, he was the chef at the hospital there in the University of Michigan. And he took us there to Dr. DeHaan's Bible class, and then one day even to his home. And we appreciate this. And so there was a great affinity that I have had in my early days as I was a new Christian with Dr. DeHaan's ministry. And I had all of his booklets. I got all these booklets all the time. And they were a great strength and support to me. And we appreciate his stand and position now on the King James Bible and on the various versions. And you remember last time we talked about the attacks of Satan in the very Garden of Eden on the early part of God's words. I would say this too, that my wife, Mrs. Waite, knew my interest in Dr. DeHaan for many years, and she would sometimes, when she had a question or a problem, she would write to Dr. DeHaan. He would write to me and to her and tell us some answers to this particular situation. So, with that in mind, let's continue. We're on page 3 in his excellent booklet, Bible Versions and Perversions, Dr. M. R. DeHaan, the founder of the Radio Bible Class and my friend and preacher that I love to hear, even though he had a big, deep, gravel voice, as you know. He was a sound Bible preacher and teacher. Well, he's talking about an attempt to discredit the Word of God by making it the butt of clever jokes and silly songs about Bible characters. And he says that, very well, give me the Puritan extreme, said Dr. DeHaan, in respect for the Bible of those days when he grew up. You see, his father was very strong and strict, rather than the God-dishonoring disrespect and loose handling of the book today with its debasing of the Bible by silly songs, empty choruses, and unscriptural dramatizations of Bible scenes. Do you mean to tell me, says Dr. DeHaan, that a group of comedians called a gospel quartet regaling the congregation with musical caricatures of Bible characters is conducive to a spirit of worship and preparation to hear the Word of God? singing about who did swallow Jonah to the accompaniment of jazzy syncopated music is, whether we recognize it or not, a clever scheme of the enemy to cheapen the Word of God and reduce it to the level of the absurd and ridiculous, unquote. Well, Dr. DeHaan is on target on that sentiment, I'm sure. I agree with him. I don't know whether you do. I hope that you do. I just had last evening, as this broadcast is being taped, we had a class in the Bible Baptist Institute in Philadelphia, and we're talking about the local church. The local church. We were in chapter 3, and the local church, its ministry. And one of the things that was not the ministry was to entertain the people. The feed my sheep, not entertain my sheep, that was the emphasis, and we went into that at some length. Now, this is exactly what Dr. DeHaan is pointing out, the entertainment of the people instead of preaching the sound Word of God in the local churches. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan said, quote, "The antics of a group of amateur gospel comedians is hardly a fit preparation for a gospel meeting. I rebel. I violently react to this unworthy treatment of holy things. To be asked to bring a gospel message from the Holy Book in a church or Bible conference or home meeting is a privilege I greatly cherish. But when I have to sit through almost an hour of frothy preliminaries, of irrelevant announcements, high-pressure offerings, and endless empty choruses, I lose all my enthusiasm to preach," unquote. By the way, Dr. DeHaan preached at the baccalaureate and the commencement of at Dallas Theological Seminary when I graduated with my Doctor of Theology degree, and I appreciated Dr. DeHaan's ministry to the school. That school has gone way downhill since he preached that message. But we certainly appreciated having him there and listening to him, a friend for many years, and the one who encouraged me to attend that school. I went up to him afterwards, and I reminded him of the various things, and he remembered, and I praise the Lord for that. Well, let's continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, "How can one speak in the seriousness of the gospel message when the audience has been regaled by a brand of cheap entertainment which produces laughs instead of tears of conviction? And shakes up the liver instead of the soul?" Now, some of you will say that this is a different age, and we must adapt our meetings to the spirit of the times. You say that preacher was born 30 years too soon. We must streamline the gospel and adjust and revise our methods to suit the times. This, I declare, is a delusion and a snare. We may change our methods, but our message, never. The end result of all this increasing shallowness and frothiness of this age has been a loss of respect for all sacred things, a cheapening of the Word of God, and the inevitable loss of power. We have lost the ability to distinguish the sacred from the secular." Unquote. Now, Dr. DeHaan, in his background, has laid the foundation and set the stage for his message, and the key message of it, the Bible versions and perversions. He wanted to set that stage because he feels that in the churches where he ministered way back in 1962 even, and that was 32 years ago as we're making this tape, even back then, there was a cheapness, a tawdriness, and the non-exaltation of the very Word of the living God. And he was appalled and seriously, violently rebellious against that cheapening of holy things. All right, let's continue in a section he calls Profane Versions and Revisions. This is on page 4 of his booklet on Bible versions and perversions. He says, quote, "We come now to another aspect of this same evil of profaning the Bible by reducing it to the level of secular literature. It is probably a reaction against restricting the interpretation of the Bible to a special class of trained and ordained men and scholars. This extreme position, that the common man must rely wholly upon the interpretation of the church or the clergy or specially ordained theologians, has resulted in an opposite extreme. But the result is the same. It is the abuse of the Protestant doctrine of the individual and private interpretation of the Scripture." Unquote. Now, he agrees, and I agree, that there should be no restriction on the part of believers that are saved and born-again Christians to reading and studying the Word of God for themselves and interpreting it for themselves. Now, that's certainly the doctrine that we ought to have, that each believer should be able to read and understand by the Holy Spirit who saved him, who lives inside of him, indwells him, and who gives him a proper interpretation and understanding of the Scriptures, the Word of God. Let me continue. Quote, "We are taught that every believer is a priest, and every believer is entitled to his own study and interpretation of the Scriptures. While this may be true up to a certain point, it is extreme abuse of this position which is evil. The result of this extreme position is the veritable flood of versions, revisions, and new translations of the Scriptures." Now notice that. "Dumped on the market in recent years." Unquote. Dumped on the market in recent years. The stream, the veritable flood, he doesn't say it's a stream, of versions, revisions, and new translations of the Scriptures. And notice they're dumped on the market. He realized that the versions and perversions of his day, 1962, the same as this year, 1964, as we're taping this broadcast, he realized that it was a market attempt to gain the almighty dollar. Dumped on the market in recent years. Let me continue. Quote, "At the rate of one per week," that's 52 per year, "we are confronted by the latest and best translations of the Bible in modern English." Let me just pause here and corroborate Dr. DeHaan's statistics, one per week. I'm looking at my book, and I want you to get this book. Call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and ask how you can get this book, Defending the King James Bible. 340 pages. King James Bible, superior texts of Hebrew and Greek, superior translators, superior technique, and superior theology. But on page 218, we have the list, the summary of the frequency of publication of complete English Bibles and New Testaments. Did you know that in the 1900s, and Dr. DeHaan was speaking in 1962, in the 1900s, there were 53 new Bibles. That's up to 1991. In the 1900s, that's one every 1.9 years, a new Bible every 1.9 years in that 100-year period. And this is a serious situation. In the New Testaments, in the 1900s, there were 144 in the 1900s that came out. If you combine the two, 135 plus 293, 428 total, but in the 1900s, 53 plus 144, 197. 197. One new one every 0.51 years. And so we see that this is a serious, serious situation and breach and mistake to believe that we have just the one Bible. Many Bibles are dumped upon the market. I certainly agree with him at the rate of one per week. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan now has a section on page 5 of his booklet on Bible, the Bible, a unique book. The Bible, a unique book. "Since the Bible is a holy book," he says, "and in a class all by itself, this separated character should be maintained. And therefore, any attempt to secularize it and lower it to the level of ordinary or other literature by loose and irresponsible versions and translations is using the word deceitfully." Unquote. Let me just simply say, the secularization by these versions and perversions, even in his day as well as in our day today, is an irresponsibility of the versions and translations, and it's using the Word of God deceitfully. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, "It is profaning the Bible. For this very reason, I believe that the Holy Spirit guided the translators of the authorized version to give it to us in the reverent, dignified, and impressive Shakespearean English, admitted by even worldly scholars to be the finest piece of English literature ever produced." Unquote. Did you get that? Dr. DeHaan, teacher, founder of the Radio Bible Class in 1962, and until the day of his death, I'm sure, exalted. I know he always used only the authorized version, the King James Bible of 1611. And it's a sad thing that the Radio Bible Class of today is using the new King James Version, which is a far cry from the authorized version. And he said, even by worldly scholars, to be the finest piece of English literature ever produced. Let me continue. Quote, for beauty of style, grammatical perfection, and dignified presentation, it has no equal. We are not claiming inspiration for the translators in the same sense that the original was inspired. But we do believe the Holy Spirit guided the translators of the Authorized Version to maintain the dignity of its separated place and to keep it out of and above the area of the secular, unquote. Now, that is the tremendous, wonderful insight that Dr. M. R. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class, had in regard to the King James Bible, the Authorized Version. He did not say, and he did not claim, inspiration for the translators, by no means in the same sense that the original was inspired at all. This is not a double inspiration. Dr. DeHaan was clear on that. We do believe, he says, the Holy Spirit guided the translators of the Authorized Word. I believe that too. The Holy Spirit did guide them, and he guided them to maintain the dignity of that Bible and to keep it above the area of the secular. Let me continue. Quote, the modern attempts to reduce the Bible to the common language of the street is an alarming symptom of an age which has lost its sense of authority and sacredness of the Scriptures. There are many other factors which enter into this process of debasing the Bible to the level of the vulgar and the profane. The common evil of spiritualizing the Bible, the effort to ecumenize it by removing all objectionable portions so that it will offend no one, is an alarming symptom of man's increasing disrespect for the Scriptures. From the many harmless versions on the market today to the extreme modernist revisions, we feel the total effect has been to obscure rather than to illumine, unquote. That's true. The versions and perversions that flood the markets today are certainly increasing a disrespect for the Scriptures. There are some harmless ones, certainly harmless, but I don't believe any version is really harmless as long as it uses the wrong Hebrew text, the wrong Greek text, and as long as it does not accurately present all of the Hebrew and Greek text in a proper translation style and therefore is off in theology. But certainly the effect has been to obscure rather than to illumine. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, we feel, quote, we feel keenly that we do not primarily need more versions, revisions, and translations of the Bible. Let me pause right there. Did you hear him? We don't need primarily more versions, revisions, and translations of the Bible. What would he say today? I believe he would say the same. He says, continuing that sentence, but the most pressing need is for us to begin to live up to the light and knowledge we already have. We need more interpretations in terms of practice and holy living. Because of all these factors which we've named, and which cumulatively have resulted in the modern lack of respect and reverence for the Word of God, we need to stop looking for new and more modern up-to-date interpretations and versions, and instead return to the faith of our fathers, the simple faith which believed the simple record of the Son of God. Let's just pause there, unquote. Did you see what he said? Not to return to these new, more modern, up-to-date interpretations. Stop looking for them. Interpretations, and that's what we have. The New International Version, for example, is an interpretation. Adding, subtracting, changing the words of God. That's an interpretation. We don't need that. We need to return to the simple record of the Son of God. The King James Bible has that record. It's given us that record in clear and simple style. Let me continue. Quote, millions upon millions have been saved by the Word of God in its earliest standard translation. Even though imperfect, and they were not able to stumble over the confusion of tongues and the babble or babel of different voices, which are the result of the veritable rash and epidemic of different versions, translations, and editions of the one Bible. Even though imperfect, they were not able, not made to stumble over the confusion of tongues. They were not made to stumble, and so millions have been saved on that King James Bible. That's what he's saying. The original, the simple record, the earliest standard translation. That's the King James Bible, the Authorized Version. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says this, quote, One most important question, therefore, is this. Have you received Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, as your own personal Savior and Lord? The Bible says in the Authorized Version, there he is using it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. You do not need to know what the Revised Version says before you can believe this. You need not search for a better translation before you believe the simple offer. Receive Christ today by believing on his name. Then trust God himself who said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Unquote. Well, Dr. DeHaan is standing for the King James Bible, the Authorized Version. And he says you don't need any Revised Version before you can believe it. It's simple enough to go ahead and take it for what it says. Well, let's continue. In a second in a series, I think, of four, maybe five, he came up with another situation and another explanation. This is a series of five messages, actually. This is number two. And he came up and he says, quote, confusion of tongues is probably the best way to describe the latest Bible game. Unquote. Let me just pause right there. The latest Bible game. That's what this is. The Bible versions and perversions that are scattered all over the countryside, whether it's the New International Version, New American Standard Version, New King James Version, New Berkeley Version, New Revised Standard Version, New English Version, the Living Version, whatever it may be, it's confusion of tongues. And it's a Bible game. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, confusion of tongues is probably the best way to describe the latest Bible game in which hundreds of competitors play fast and loose with the Holy Scriptures and issuing by the scores new and dubious translations, versions, perversions, and revisions of our English Bible. Unquote. Do you get the idea that Dr. DeHaan is satisfied with the Authorized Version? Do you get the general notion that Dr. M.R. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class, was content with the King James Bible and was upset with the new modern versions, revisions, and perversions and dubious translations of the English Bible? I get that general idea. Let me continue. He says, quote, one of the reasons given for the need of a new translation is the need of a Bible in modern English. The sponsors of the novel and exotic translations assure us that the language of the Authorized Version is too archaic and hinders people from understanding it. But from some of the more recent attempts at giving us a Bible in modern English, it becomes apparent the real purpose was to sell us on a modernistic Bible. Not a modern one. Notice this. A modernistic Bible. Unquote. That means a Bible of apostasy. A Bible of corruption. A Bible with doctrinal impurity and perversions. And this he's talking about, I'm sure, the Revised Standard Version, copyrighted by the National Council of Churches. Let me continue. Quote, Dr. DeHaan says, the strategy of the enemy is now apparent. The enemy, of course, referring to Satan. It appears from two recent so-called translations, the Revised Standard Version and the New English Bible, that the real purpose is to destroy the Bible as the Word of God. Leading up to this climax of infamy are a long line of lesser versions. Unquote. So he picks the big two of his day in 1962. The Revised Standard Version. Now we have a new Revised Standard Version, but it's the same type of version. And the New English Bible. The Revised Standard Version and the New English Version. And they attempt not to modernize it, but to modernisticize it and to destroy the Bible as the Word of God. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, even if we grant the assertion that we need a new version in modern English, then why is one not enough? Why, we ask, must we be subjected to a veritable barrage of translations, plural? Let me continue. One new one should be enough. I refer to the noxious epidemic of so-called, miscalled, new versions and translations of the Bible. Unquote. Let me just pause here. He believes it's an epidemic. He believes it's noxious. You know what noxious means? Well, he was a medical doctor, an MD, and called to be a preacher out of a life of drunkenness and debauchery. He used to tell about that. I don't know if too many people know that. But the Lord called him. He went to seminary late in life, in his 30s, maybe 32, 33. He had already been a doctor, a practicing physician. He says these are noxious things, and it's an epidemic. Noxious means a poisonous epidemic of these new versions. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, "It has become an epidemic scourge and shows no signs of abating or loosening its virulence." Attempts at better, with a question mark in the translation here, better, quote, and newer translations of the English Bible have been endemic for some time. You notice these medical terms, epidemic, endemic, noxious, all these different things as a medical doctor he would use. And his attempts at better have been endemic, that is, foisted upon the population for some time, and various attempts to improve upon the authorized translation have appeared sporadically, usually to be cast into discard, unquote. Now, this is true. Dr. DeHaan is correct. These that have attempted to upset and unseat the King James Bible or the authorized version have been discarded and cast into the bone pile or the junk pile or the trash pile, as we say. Let me continue. Quote, "But today, it is not only assuming the proportions of an epidemic, but has become pandemic." Now here again, medical terms, epidemic upon the people, pandemic upon all the people, everywhere. This yen, he says, let me continue. This craze for new versions and translations is not limited to the United States anymore. But the disease, here again a medical term, has been carried abroad and has been enthusiastically copied by our British brethren, who have even outdone us in the newest perversion of the Bible. He calls it a perversion. All right, let me continue. Dr. DeHaan talks now in a section, page 7, a word of explanation. A word of explanation. Quote, he says, right here we must give an explanation. We are not referring to translations of the scriptures into the language of a people or nation. We are speaking about the outbreak of new versions and revisions of already existing translations. We, of course, must have translations. They are indispensable. This necessity was not apparent when the Old Testament was written. It was written for one nation who had only one language. As long as this nation, Israel, was in their land, the books of Moses and the prophets in the Hebrew language was sufficient. Well, we're going to pause right here. We're talking about Dr. M.R. DeHaan's excellent booklet and excellent study on Bible versions and perversions, written way back in the 1960s, 1962 to be exact. But we believe that it has value even today. And we are in favor of the old-time radio Bible class and its old-time teacher and founder, Dr. M.R. DeHaan, who was my friend, who influenced me in the ministry of the gospel to be a pastor and a minister and full-time worker for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give his views before the public and the stand he takes on our Bible. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16 and also John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to order for you, Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 367. 367 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You may use your credit card if you wish. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, call us on our question and answer phone, 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our new book, Defending the King James Bible, now in its third printing, 340 pages in all. And it is a superiority fourfold of the King James Bible. Superior text of Hebrew and Greek, superior translator, superior technique, and superior theology. And we believe the King James Bible is God's Word kept intact in English. Well, for our last several weeks, we've been talking about Dr. M.R. DeHaan's Bible Versions and Perversions. Hope that you've been listening to us. If not, these cassettes are available. Just simply write us or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're on page 7 of Dr. DeHaan's booklet. I told you last couple of broadcasts that he was one of my teachers in the Bible class, Detroit Bible class, when I was a student at the University of Michigan. And we thought a lot of Dr. DeHaan, and we're sorry that his radio Bible class has slipped and drifted from his firm stand for the authorized version, the King James Bible, against the Bible versions and perversions of his day, 1962. Here it is, 1994, 32 years later, as we're broadcasting. But we're on page 7, talking about a word of explanation, talking about if Moses had only the Hebrew language and that was sufficient. We need translations in all the versions. That's true. He says, quote, "However, when the nation of Israel went into captivity and was scattered among the nations of the world, they lost their use of the Hebrew in large measure and adopted the language of the nations, which was then Greek, the language of their conquerors. And since many of the Jews of the dispersion were unfamiliar with the ancient Hebrew, a translation of the language of the times became a necessity. The Jews of the dispersion soon forgot the Hebrew, and by the second generation, most of them spoke Greek. Only in Palestine was the Hebrew remained and retained to any degree. This change from Hebrew to Greek made necessary a translation of the Hebrew scriptures into the language of that day. It was a necessity, not just a fad or a commodity or a source of profit. The first translation from Hebrew to Greek was to meet this indispensable need. And the work of translating was done by 70 Jewish scholars who were sent to Alexandria at the request of the emperor to respond, or in response to the appeal of the large Greek-speaking Jewish element in the city. The Septuagint, or the 70 scriptures, became the accepted translation of the Old Testament for the Greek-speaking world and was in general use during the time of Christ. The New Testament was consequently written in the Greek and not in the Hebrew." Unquote. Now, I would differ with Dr. DeHaan on some of his areas of the Greek scriptures and the Septuagint scriptures. As you may know, the Septuagint, or 70, as you say, that is made from the letter of Aristeas, and it is a fabulous fable. It is an untrue thing. It's just a saying, an old history thing, but it's just like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. The letter of Aristeas, telling about how 70 or 72 men in 70 days or 72 days translated the Old Testament first five books of the Pentateuch, is fanciful. And of course, there are those on both sides of the question. Dr. DeHaan represents one side, certainly. Other sides simply say, since there's no recorded Old Testament Greek translation from Hebrew to Greek that is B.C., there's not a scrap of evidence. All the evidence is A.D. The feeling of many now recently is that it is an A.D. production after the Lord Jesus Christ was born and in the New Testament era that it was made, not in the Old Testament time. So there's a dispute of that, but I wanted you to hear at least what Dr. DeHaan felt on that issue. That was the then popular view, and of course it's still popular today among many folks. All right, let's go on. Page 8, Dr. DeHaan speaks, and he's the founder of the radio Bible class. Subsequent translations. After the church was founded, he writes, this New Testament written in Greek needed no translating until the gospel began to spread into other lands. As Christianity began to spread and lose its distinctively Jewish color, It then became necessary to translate the scriptures into the language of the peoples whom the missionaries sought to evangelize. Naturally, the Christian missionaries could not bring the scriptures to these other peoples unless they could do one of two things, either teach them the Greek or translate the Greek into the language of the people. This necessitated a translation into the language of the peoples to whom they would bring the gospel. These were not versions or revisions, but translations into a completely new language. Now, that's an entirely different thing than revising or giving a new version of a Bible already translated into that language, unquote. Now, that is a very important point. These versions, so-called, and perversions, entirely different from having the English language for the first time have a translation of the Old and the New Testaments into their own language. We've had our English Bible for years, since 1611, and there's no need to continuously repeat and repeat and repeat all of the various Bibles and complete New Testaments, as we mentioned in the broadcast before, that have now been given to the world. All right, let me continue. Dr. DeHaan talks about now the new division, the English Bible. The English Bible. Then, he says, quote, as Latin became the world language of the Roman Empire after the fall of the Greek Empire, new translations into these new languages were needed. And so in the 4th century, we have the translation of the Vaticanus and also the Sinaiticus and the Alexandrinus in the 5th century. And as the gospel spread to other areas, new and original translations into these tongues were made necessary. In most of these areas, the one translation has sufficed and few, if any, revisions were needed, unquote. Now, he mentions simply the date of the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts in the 4th century. He doesn't say he worships them. He doesn't say he goes along with them. He does mention that they were there. And as you know from other broadcasts, we would certainly say that those Greek versions, those Greek manuscripts of Vatican and Sinai, 4th century, are Egyptian perversions of the true manuscript that God had originally given. All right, and on page 9, Dr. DeHaan continues. He says, quote, we believe that these translations into the various languages were directed by God, and while we do not claim that they were inerrant, as were the originals, we do believe that God saw to it that no major errors were introduced, but the meaning of the text was preserved. But not so with the various versions, revisions, and so-called translations of the first translation. And then notice, unquote, then notice this quotation by Dr. DeHaan, as he says on page 9, quote, it is evident that the authorized version has stood the test of time and was God's gift to the English-speaking church. All of the attempts at improvement, at improving it have been fruitless. Let me read that again. It is evident, says Dr. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class, that the authorized version has stood the test of time and was God's gift to the English-speaking church. All of the attempts at improving it have been fruitless, unquote. Let me continue. We are not speaking of commentaries on the Bible or personal opinions, but of the so-called miscalled new translations. Portions of the Bible have been translated into English before printing was invented and had appeared in Spain, France, Italy, Bohemia, Holland, and Germany. John Wycliffe completed the first full translation in 1384. However, the first complete Bible in English in print was made in 1535. Among these early translators were such names as William Tyndale, Miles Coverdale, etc. The appearances of these attempts at an English translation for the masses prompted the Catholic Church to issue the Douay version of the New Testament in 1582 in order to counteract and abolish the, quote, false and impious translations put forth by sundry sects, unquote. That's from the Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 3, and page 533. The Douay version of the entire Bible was completed in 1609, unquote. Now, that is a very good historical picture of what has happened. Dr. DeHaan said that the King James authorized version has stood the test of time. He says that we're not speaking of commentaries, but the new translations, so-called, miscalled new translations, there were translations of the English language before the printing press was in effect, but now the printing press has arrived, and so it's a new different picture entirely. Well, let's continue. He has a caption section, the authorized version. We're on page 9. This is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking to you and encouraging you to stay with the King James Bible, the authorized version, of the Bible and not to depart into any of these other modern so-called versions or perversions. And we're reading what Dr. M.R. DeHaan has been saying and writing way back in 1962. He was the founder and director originally of the Radio Bible Class, which has now changed its position on Bible texts and translations, is now using the so-called New King James Version instead of the Authorized 1611. Let me continue. Dr. Hahn writes, quote, "It was in 1611 that the best-known and time-tested translation of the English Bible was published, meeting a crying need for an authentic translation. It was written in the most impressive and dignified English, and has after 350 years, and now it's 383 years, remained the one English translation which meets the requirements of a necessary Holy Spirit-guided translation." Unquote. Let me just pause there. That is an excellent commendation by Dr. M.R. DeHaan, a doctor of medicine, M.D., called to preach by the Lord and the founder of the Radio Bible Class. He stands and he stood for the dignified English of the King James Bible, and the accuracy is mentioned as well. An authentic translation. Let me continue. Quote, "Since then," that is, since 1611, "numerous, several hundred attempts at improvement upon this Authorized Version have been tried. A veritable flood of versions, revisions, and translations have been issued. With a few exceptions, they have all become obsolete and forgotten, discarded, and happily buried. May they rest in peace and never be resurrected again. Less than 50 of these translations have lasted beyond a single generation." Unquote. Let me just pause right here. Dr. DeHaan is so accurate on that statement. So true, the flood of versions, revisions, and translations, but with few exceptions, they become obsolete and forgotten. And I'm glad that they have been obsolete and forgotten, because they have not touched the hem of the garment of the King James Bible, the Authorized 1611 Bible. Maybe some of you have our Bible book, our Defending the King James Bible book and volume, but on page 218 and 219, we give a summary of the new Bibles, complete Bibles that have been issued from 1300s down to the 1900s. Over 600 years, the complete English Bibles over 135, the complete English New Testaments over 293, and the totals 428. And we actually list every one of these complete New Testaments and complete English Bibles. And if you could see them and find out how many of them are still in print, Dr. DeHaan is absolutely correct on this. They have, with very few exceptions, become obsolete. And they've passed off the scene. And less than 50 have lasted beyond a single generation. Now that's a very important point. But the King James Bible goes on. Why? Because it accurately translates and gives to us what the Hebrew says and what the Greek says, Old Testament and New Testament. Let me continue now. On page 10, Dr. DeHaan says this. By the way, if you're interested in receiving more information on this subject, please call us at 1-800-John-10-9, and we'll tell you how you may receive it. Maybe you'd like these broadcasts, these tapes, these cassettes. Maybe you'd like our book, Defending the King James Bible, so that you can see the various complete English translations of the Bible and complete English translations of the New Testament. All right, Dr. DeHaan says this, quote, "Today, the tempo of publishing new and exotic translations has been greatly stepped up, due undoubtedly to the craze of a gullible public for anything new and the discovery that this gullibility is a source of profit and increased revenue for the authors and publishers," unquote. Now, let's just pause right here. Dr. DeHaan has put his finger upon the true motive and true real picture that exists in the publishing business. I'm not against the profit motive. I've said that many times before. But the profits on new versions of the Bible, new perversions of the Bible, new revisions of the Bible, the profits are immense. And this is the driving force that makes the authors and publishers get new versions, new perversions, so that they can make more money. And millions of dollars annually are made by the big publishers in Bibles. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, at this point I must pause and explain that we are not condemning efforts by godly, scholarly men to clarify the scriptures or to issue comments of an enlightening, explanatory nature. There are some new versions and revisions which are useful in correcting mistranslations and dispelling misunderstanding by using current words and phrases instead of some of the obsolete and archaic expressions in the earlier version. Unquote. So he's saying that sometimes we can clarify words, and this is why Dr. Robert Doom has been interested in trying to get a Bible out, Old and New Testament, which when the version of our choice, the King James Bible, has a word, one of the 500 or 600 words that have changed their meaning in the last 373 years, there is an underline of that word, and then in the margin, there is an explanation of the meaning of that word, so that it becomes a clear, exact translation and fresh for us today. And I believe that he's working on that still. I called him the other day as this broadcast is being recorded. He said that he's poured another $5,000 into this project. I think he's coming out with a few New Testament books first and then going on to the Old Testament as well. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, however, admitting the value and usefulness of some of these attempts, we look with alarm upon the abuse of this trend into a growing evil. The influence of all of them together is definitely bad, that is, of these new versions and perversions, and has resulted in confusion, frustration, and doubt among sincere searchers, and has given occasion to doubters to ask, who is right? Moreover, it has given ammunition to the enemy to say that nobody knows what is correct. Again, we repeat, there are exceptions which I would not overlook, but at the same time, a definite distinction should be made between translations of the Bible and new versions. We would make a difference. A fine distinction between translation and version. A translation, to be true to its name, is the setting over of the message into another language without changing its meaning. A version may be just the opinion of a man or men as to what they think it means, unquote. Let me pause right here. Dr. DeHaan is so correct in this area. What the difference between a translation and a version is, translation is a setting forth of the message into another language. In fact, it's setting forth in the very words, wherever possible, of that other language into the English or Spanish or French or German. And the version may be just the opinion of a man or men as to what they think it means, instead of setting over the message into another language. What do they think it means? That brings to mind Dr. Francis Steele's excellent definition of a translation. We want to know what God said, not what Dr. So-and-so thinks God meant by what he said. That's so important. And Dr. DeHaan mentions that the version is just the opinion of a man or men as to what they think it means. The New International Version, for example, is a version filled and loaded with the opinions and additions and subtractions and changes of men. And so we can't know what God said. We just know what Dr. So-and-so thinks God meant by what he said. And so we're confused, and confusion reigns supreme. Well, that's an important statement. Let's continue. Dr. DeHaan said, when we ask people, what is your version of the matter? We are asking them for their personal opinion of the subject. Sorry to say, all too many so-called translations are a misnomer and should be called versions, that is, private opinions of the revisers. Private opinions of the revisers. In all honesty, it should be made clear that the changes are but the opinions of men. And on the covers of all such works should be printed a commentary on the Bible. But please, please let us refrain from calling it Holy Bible, unquote. Now that tells it like it is. Dr. DeHaan, the founder of the Radio Bible Class, back in 1962, has unburdened his heart in regard to Bible versions and perversions. And this particular statement that he just made that I just read is so accurate, so honest. In all honesty, these so-called versions are the private opinions of the revisers, and in all honesty, they should be made clear that the changes are but the opinions of men. And it should be printed on the cover, a commentary on the Bible. Now that's what they should put on the Living Version, a commentary on the Bible. And he's not against commentaries, but it should never be called Holy Bible. All right, let me continue. The caption now in the section that Dr. DeHaan brings up, do you disagree? Do you disagree? And he says this, quote, I am keenly aware of the fact that I am dealing with a very delicate and touchy subject on which many sincere folks differ. I also realize that by discussing this subject and stating my honest, irrepressible convictions, I shall invoke and provoke the untempered condemnation of some who violently disagree. Let me just pause right there, unquote. Dr. DeHaan, true to his name, true to his fame, true to his stand, is a man and was a man of conviction. My honest, irrepressible convictions. And he knows full well, and he knew full well, that he would invoke and provoke the untempered condemnation of some who violently disagree. Violently disagree. And I just would that the present Radio Bible class of today would have the same irrepressible convictions on the King James Bible and the Authorized Version, and would return to it, scrap their new King James Version, which has over 2,000 examples of addition to God's words, subtraction from God's words, or changes in God's words. And though it has not as many dynamic equivalencies as the New American Standard has, or as the New International Version has, yet the direction is clear. It's moving away from translation into the opinions of men. And so, my friend, here at the Bible for Today and in our Dean Burgon Society, we have these same irrepressible convictions, honest, irrepressible convictions, concerning the King James Bible, the Authorized Version, 1611. And we know too, and I know too, as this broadcast is being aired, and as we write concerning these matters, and as our book goes out defending the King James Bible, you ought to get it, 340 pages, or you ought to get the subject of that, four reasons for defending the King James Bible, a summary of that larger book, just 26 pages. You ought to ask us how you can get it. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we'll tell you how you may get it. But we realize also, because of our conviction of the Dean Burgon Society and the Bible for Today, that we have invoked and are going to continue to invoke and provoke the untempered condemnation of some who violently disagree. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, after making that statement, he says, but I have no choice in the matter. Let me repeat that. But I have no choice in the matter. For I am overwhelmingly convinced that this obsession, this craze for issuing new versions of the Bible contains potentialities for evil, which must be exposed, unquote. Here's old Dr. DeHaan wanting to expose evil. You see why he's been my friend through these years? Do you see why, with conviction, has he taught us the book of Hebrews in the Detroit Bible class? When I, as a student at Ann Arbor University of Michigan, majoring in Greek and Latin, do you see why I was so impressed with Dr. DeHaan? First off, I was majoring in pre-medical work with all of its organic and inorganic chemistry and physics and biology and zoology and math and all these other things. But I changed. Do you see why I have continued to get the booklets and books, and why I stored up every booklet that Dr. DeHaan ever wrote and read and read and read and reread? Because he was a man of conviction. And here, as he deals with the Bible and these modern Bible versions and perversions, don't you see the conviction of the man coming out in his words? Can't you hear him as he would speak this over the airwaves? Over the Mutual Network and all the networks that he had at the time, NBC, I believe, was the other network. I have no choice in the matter. He sounds like Jeremiah, doesn't he? He wanted to stop preaching. Jeremiah did. And he says, I could not. I could not stay, for his words were in me as a burning fire. And I could not stay. I could not stop speaking. Dr. DeHaan says, I have no choice in the matter. I am overwhelmingly convinced that this obsession, this craze for issuing new versions of the Bible contains potentialities for evil. Potentialities for evil, which must be exposed. Unquote. That's true. The potentialities for evil in the new versions and perversions and modernizations of our King James Bible are tremendous for evil, potentialities for evil, and as he said, they must be exposed. This is one of the reasons why the Bible for Today and the Dean Burgon Society have sought to expose the new versions, the perversions of the Bible, especially those that the Bible-believing Christians are using and are being pushed to use, such as the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, New Berkeley Version, as well as exposing the other perversions of the modernists and the liberals, such as the Revised Standard Version and so on. We have in the Bible for Today over 900 titles that we carry that stand for the King James Bible and for the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it and expose the new versions and perversions just as Dr. DeHaan felt they ought to be exposed. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, the founder of the Radio Bible Class, quote, we would do this only through love for the truth, without in any way impugning the motives or honesty of any individual or group of individuals to whom my convictions may apply. Then he says this, unquote, it is good to disagree, unquote. Now let's just pause right there. It is good to disagree. Let me continue the next statement because it goes along with this. Quote, disagreement provokes discussion. And honest discussions are productive and broadening by causing us to look at the other side of the question and not just our own one-sided, though sincere, opinions. Unquote. Let me pause right there. Let me simply say that this is so true. I never knew there was another side to this question of the Bible texts and translations and the Greek text other than Westcott and Hort Greek text. That's what Dallas Theological Seminary was teaching me in those days where I attended, 1948 to 1952 and again through 1953. They taught us that was the only thing to do. There was no other side. It all presented. And through disagreement, it did bring discussion, and honest discussions are productive and broadening. And I did look at the other side, and I urge you, my friend, to look at the other side of this issue of Bible versions and Greek texts. And why don't you write us, Bible for Today at Collingswood, New Jersey. Why don't you get a hold of our book, Defending the King James Bible. Ask us how you can get it. We want you to understand, here is a man, 1962, writing, and on the opinions that he has and the disagreements that he has with the new versions that were then current in his day. And he stood out standing strong and true for the authorized version even then. And he had irrepressible conviction that the present versions and perversions would bring evil, absolute evil, overwhelming attempts and potentialities for evil, and so he had to expose it. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to order Defending the King James Bible for you, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 368. 368 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You may use your credit card if you wish. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book. We call it Defending the King James Bible. It's in its third printing. Beautiful looking job. Third printing. A few corrections here and there, but basically the same book that we've offered in the first and second printing. But Defending the King James Bible, a fourfold superiority. Superior texts of Hebrew and Greek. Superior translators. Superior technique of translation. And superior theology. We believe it's God's Word kept intact in English. Call us or ask your bookstore to get it for you, or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Also ask for our 26-page summary, Four Reasons for Defending the King James Bible. We'd be glad to send that to you. Or maybe you'd like our brochure number one, over 900 titles that we carry, Defending the King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it, and analyzing the various other texts that are wrong and corrupt and incorrect. All right, we've been talking these last few weeks on Dr. M.R. DeHaan's Bible Versions and Perversions, an excellent series that he had on the radio way back in 1962. But his radio Bible class, he was the founder, you know, Dr. M.R. DeHaan. He was the founder and the teacher until the Lord took him home. And he is a friend of mine who influenced me to get into the ministry. And so it's with great joy that we bring this series on his view of Bible versions and perversions. Last broadcast, I'm very sorry that the present radio Bible class, I'm sorry that that radio Bible class does not continue Dr. DeHaan's strong protest against these new versions and perversions. Let me say, we're on page 11 of his booklet, and we appreciate it so much. And he said last broadcast, he says, I also realize... He talks about, do you disagree? Let me back up a little bit. He says, I'm keenly aware of the fact that I'm dealing with a very delicate and touchy subject. That is the subject of Bible versions and perversions, on which many sincere folks differ. Dr. DeHaan said, I also realize that by discussing this subject and by stating my honest, irrepressible convictions, I shall invoke and provoke the untempered condemnation of some who violently disagree. But I have no choice in the matter. Let me pause there. I have no choice in the matter either in expressing my disappointment and my irrepressible, honest convictions that these false versions of today, including the ones that the so-called Bible-believing people are reading and using, these false versions are not of God. That's the New International Version. That's the New American Standard Version. That's the New King James Version, the New Berkeley Version, and all the ones that the liberals and modernists use as well. Living Version, the Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, New English Version, and so on. I am overwhelmingly convinced, he says. I have no choice in the matter, for I am overwhelmingly convinced that this obsession, this craze for issuing new versions of the Bible, contains potentialities for evil which must be exposed. We certainly agree with that. It must be exposed. And so, we have one-sided opinions, sincere opinions. He said, but that's good to have different opinions. Disagreement provokes discussion. So, let me continue Dr. DeHaan's comments. So, if we disagree, let us do so in love. We welcome constructive disagreement, as long as we can remain agreeable in our disagreements. In our disagreements, we shall reach some area of agreement. And then he says, how then shall we appraise all these new attempts at improving the Bible? He's going to classify them now, unquote. Dr. M.R. DeHaan, the founder of the radio Bible class, is going to classify the attempts at improving the Bible. We may classify all revisions or versions as follows. Number one, some are necessary. Number two, others are useful. Number three, many are useless. And number four, there are those which are harmful. So let's go over some of these. He says, quote, by necessary versions of the Bible, we mean the original translation of the Bible into a new language, into which no translation has ever been made. And certainly we agree with that, unquote, that there are necessary translations to put the Bible into languages that they've never had before, in their own language, the Word of God. Let me continue. Quote, then there are revisions which are useful, but should not be called translations. Rather, they are private versions and interpretations or commentaries. They should not be called Bibles. Now, unquote. Let me pause right there. This is a true fact that Dr. DeHaan is putting his finger on. These are not translations, but rather private versions, interpretations, or commentaries. They should not be called Bibles. The Living Version is that way. The New International Version, though many hate to hear me say it, is that way. The New American Standard Version is that way also. Interpretations, commentaries, private versions. They should not be called Bibles. And I don't call them Bibles. I call them versions. New King James Version that the Radio Bible Class is presently using is a version that's a private interpretation in many areas, 2,000 times at least, where they've departed from translation and gone into dynamic equivalence, adding to God's Word, subtracting from God's words, or changing God's words over 2,000 places. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, the third and fourth groups, the useless and the harmful, we shall discuss more fully. They may represent efforts to make financial profit, or worse still, deliberate attempts to destroy the book itself. This class of new versions usually consists of a transposing and juggling of words and phrases, multiplication of synonyms which add nothing to the sense or meaning. Let me pause there, unquote. Is this not what I found true in the New American Standard Version over 4,000 times? Is this not what I found true in the New International Version over 6,653 times until I stopped counting? After 2 years and 8 months? Is this not a transposing and juggling of words and phrases, which they do constantly? The New King James Version over 2,000 times? Is this not a multiplication of synonyms which add nothing to the sense or meaning? Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, certainly, if the Spirit had anything to do with some of these silly attempts at amplifying the Word of God, it must have been an evil spirit indeed. Before closing, may I repeat my personal conviction concerning the old, reliable, spirit-directed, time-tested translation, the Authorized Version. Now that's something, isn't it? Standing, unquote, standing as he did, Dr. M. R. DeHaan, teacher of the Radio Bible Class, standing in 1962 for a version that was gotten out in 1611, and this, over 350 years old, he still says, before closing, may I repeat my personal conviction concerning the old, reliable, spirit-directed, time-tested translation, the Authorized Version. Why, oh why, did not the Radio Bible Class adhere to Dr. DeHaan's convictions? It's a sad thing indeed for me to see this. And he mentions these new versions that juggle and so on. All right, this is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking. I'm speaking on Dr. M. R. DeHaan's messages in regard to Bible versions and perversions. He's the founder of the Radio Bible Class. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. I am the door. That's a good verse. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. If you'd like to get any of our materials, please call us on our order phone, and we'd be glad to see and hear from you. Let me continue on page 12. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, when reading some of these modern versions, one gets the same sickening feeling of an infinite gulf as from reading the apocryphal books after having feasted on the inspired epistles of Paul, unquote. Let me just pause right there. The modern versions, sickening feeling, infinite gulf, just like reading one of the apocryphal books. These false books between Malachi and Matthew. He gets the same feeling. Let me continue. Quote, what a sickening letdown for one who has grown up on a diet of that dignified, awe-inspiring classic, the Authorized Version. Unquote. He was brought up on that authorized version. Dr. DeHaan knew that book. He read that book. He studied that book. And we wish the radio Bible class presently would follow the same book of its founder, the authorized version, this King James Bible. Let me continue. Quote, reading the puerile, that means juvenile, attempts of novices and amateurs to improve upon a translation written in the clearest, richest, and most beautiful English to be found anywhere among the libraries of the world, the authorized version, causes one to be utterly dismayed. Unquote. What a sentence, what a sentiment of dear Dr. DeHaan, my teacher in the Detroit Bible class for over a year in the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord for that man, a stalwart teacher and preacher of the Word of God. And here he says concerning the puerile and juvenile attempts of novices and amateurs to improve upon a translation written in the clearest, richest, and most beautiful English to be found anywhere among the libraries of the world. The authorized version causes one to be utterly dismayed. Let me continue. He says, quote, as Dr. Tozer remarks in his article on the versions in the Alliance Weekly. You know, Dr. Tozer has been quoted by many people for many things recently, and here's what Dr. DeHaan says, quoting Dr. Tozer in the Alliance Weekly. Quote, it has been my experience, says Dr. Tozer, that the new versions make at least one mistake for every one they correct. So that by the time the trusting reader has reached the last chapter of Revelation, he is back where he started and goes out by that same door wherein he went. Why is all this confusion of tongues limited almost wholly to the English Bible? Other translations in other languages have evidently not needed countless revisions, versions and perversions, translations and dislocations, which we poor, ignorant, stupid, English-speaking morons need, unquote. Let me pause at Dr. Tozer's statement here. In fact, that isn't Dr. Tozer. This is Dr. DeHaan. Dr. Tozer's quote just stopped where it says, when you get back to Revelation, he's back where he started, and goes out by the same door when he went, unquote. That's from Dr. Tozer of the Alliance Weekly. In other words, in his experiences, the new versions make at least one mistake for everyone they correct. And so, one step forward, one back. One step forward, one back. And then Dr. DeHaan says, let me greet it again with meaning because it's from dear Dr. DeHaan himself. We're on page 12 now of his booklet, Bible Versions and Perversions. He says, why is all this confusion of tongues limited almost wholly to the English Bible? Other translations in other languages have evidently not needed countless revisions, perversions, versions and perversions, translations and dislocations, which we poor, ignorant, stupid, English-speaking morons need, unquote. Well put, Dr. DeHaan. Let me continue. It is quite an insult to our meager intelligence that after several hundred attempts to simplify the translation of the Bible, we have not yet been able to produce one simple enough for our infantile, English-trained minds to grasp. Notice that. Infantile minds. The minds of a child. The minds of a child. The minds of children. Let me continue. Dr. DeHaan says, quote, the result is inevitable. Men will give as an excuse for going to hell the fact that the Bible was an unintelligible book. If God had only made his word more clear so we could understand it, we might not have been lost. But that excuse will not hold, for no clearer word has ever been given than John 3:16 in the authorized version. Let me pause right there. He's so true. And he still praises and exalts and honors the authorized version. And there's never been a clearer word that's been given in the authorized version. What is it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No one needs a revision or a revised version of this before he can come to Christ. No one needs a revised version of this before he can come to Christ. We certainly agree with this. Excellent. Well, go on to message number 3. Dr. DeHaan continues. He says, quote, I resent the accusation that I am a scriptural crank and a hair-splitting critic of the numerous so-called new translations, versions, and revisions of the Bible. Unquote. Let me pause here. I like the smarts of Dr. DeHaan, and I like his fighting spirit as well. I guess that's what drew me to him. I guess that's what made me somewhat pattern my ministry after his grit and after his tenacity to truth and his love for the authorized version and the truth of the Word of God. And that's why I suppose that I like him and love him so much in the Lord, and how much I miss him. And I miss his broadcasts, and I miss his deep voice. And every once in a while in the radio Bible class, they'll publish and print and make one of his messages come alive, and we hear him on tape and his voice. And it thrills my heart, because he was my teacher. He is the one that God used to get me from pre-medical work into pre-theological, and to train for the ministry and the service of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I owe a great deal to him. And when I see this, and here he begins his third message out of five, and he's had two already, and they've gone out coast to coast in the Mutual Network, and also I believe it's the ABC Network, ABC Radio Network. And people have probably have written in after they've gotten these first two messages, and he is going to answer them. And he's not one just to sit down still and shut up. When people are after him, he comes back and he not retaliates. He does it in love, but he does it firmly. You watch him, you listen to what he says. Quote, I resent the accusation that I am a scriptural crank and a hair-splitting critic of the numerous so-called new translations, versions, and revisions of the Bible. Let me continue on page 13 now. Neither am I writing a hobby or developing a translation phobia or getting into a rut on a pet subject. I have never before expressed my aversion to the modern craze for issuing new versions of the Bible. And when I have said what I want to say in these messages, I shall drop the subject. But before I do, I want to clear my conscience in the deep conviction that I must issue this warning and alarm concerning the present trend of translations into modern English, unquote. Let me pause right there in dear old Dr. DeHaan's words. Dr. M.R. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class, the old Radio Bible Class, not the new one, the old one, as he talks about Bible versions and perversions. Don't you like it? Don't you like his spirit? Yes, he dropped it. He stopped it. And the Radio Bible Class dropped his booklet, too. I wish they'd keep it. But anyway, he dropped it. He dropped the subject. He's never before expressed his aversion to the modern craze. And I'm so glad, so happy that I found this booklet of Dr. DeHaan's and that I've been able to share it with you, the radio listeners. Because I believe with Dr. DeHaan that we have a real subject and a real aversion. Now, not like Dr. DeHaan, I have not promised to drop this subject. I have not promised. And I want to clear my conscience in the deep conviction and issue this warning, as he did, in the alarm concerning the present trend of translations into modern English. I don't want to be still. I don't want to stop. This broadcast is 30 minutes in length once a week. On some of your stations, maybe this very station, I'm on 5 minutes a day, once every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In other words, 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day. 30 minutes on once a week on some stations, but Monday through Friday, 5 times a week, 5 minutes a day on other stations, perhaps on the same station. And I want to tell you that when I got onto the radio, I began with WVVW there in West Virginia. I began with a 30-minute broadcast. And I wondered, after a while, then other stations got us and we've expanded. We're on about 23 stations as this broadcast is being taped. We may have to drop some because we're getting a little bit heavy on our expenses. But you pray that with the Lord for us and with us that that won't be necessary. But I had thought, I toyed with the thing, well, should I change my subject? Should I talk about John MacArthur and his heresies and the blood of Christ? Should I talk about evangelist Billy Graham and his compromise in ecumenical evangelism? Should I talk about Dr. Jack Hiles, with whom we disagree many places and so on, as far as his situation there in his church? Should I talk about Word of Life in some of the areas where we differ there? Should I talk about these other matters Bill Gothard. Should I talk about other matters that we've talked about in our Bible for Today ministry? And I said to myself, no. In fact, my wife said to myself, no. She said, honey, she said, I think that you should stress this one theme, this one subject that people are not stressing. They're not continuing. There's no drip, drip, drip. There's no continual pressure on the one issue, what is the Word of God in English today? This one issue, what is the Bible today in Hebrew? Which Hebrew text are we to use? Which Greek text are we to use? What about the translators of the King James Bible, the Authorized Version of 1611? And she convinced me, and I am convinced at the present time as this tape is being made, that God helping me and God giving me the resources to do so, I shall continue by God's grace to talk about this one theme, the superiority of our King James Bible and defending the King James Bible and on the offense against all the modern versions and perversions and so-called translations and dynamic equivalencies that have been made in the last years. Now, I don't want to drop the subject. Dr. DeHaan said I'm going to drop it. I think he did. I'm sure he did. He dropped it. But he wants to issue the warning, the alarm, concerning the present trend of translations into modern English. Well, let me continue. Quote, maybe some of you listeners, by the way, would want me to drop this issue and not be pushing on so much. You might say to yourself, doesn't he get tired of this? My friend, there's not a single theological proposition that's taught in the Word of God that does not require a proper Bible to prove it. Not one single doctrinal consideration that does not require a Bible, a proper Bible to prove it. A proper Hebrew Bible, a proper Greek Bible, and then a proper Bible excellently translated from these two proper Hebrew and Greek scriptures into all the languages of the world. Whether it's English, like the King James Bible, whether it's Spanish, French, Italian, German, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, Swahili, whatever. Whatever the language, there's not a single doctrine that does not depend exclusively and completely upon having a proper Bible translation from the original Hebrew, the original Greek, the proper Hebrew, proper Greek text. And so there is no more important topic than this topic of the King James Bible. And what is the Bible? I started my Bible book, this Defending the King James Bible, with words along that line. And I said, it has been my purpose. Notice, let me read this. This study on defending the King James Bible, this is Roman numeral 11 on the book. You ought to get this book, Defending the King James Bible. Call us and we'll tell you how you can get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Here's what I say. This study on defending the King James Bible, a fourfold superiority, God's Word kept intact in English, is the product of over 21 years of the author's thinking, researching, writing, publishing, and speaking on this most important theme. There is no more important subject in all the Christian faith than the Bible. One vital question is, which English Bible are we to read, study, memorize, preach from, and use today? That's one vital question. A second important question is, which English Bible can we hold in our hands and say with great confidence, this is the Word of God in English? Then I say it has been the purpose of this study to answer both of the above questions by pointing to the King James Bible, proving its superiority in four areas. One, its superior texts. Two, its superior translators. Three, its superior techniques. And four, its superior theology. In all four of these areas, the King James Bible has no equal. Now, that's what I started out with in my foreword of my Bible, defending the King James Bible, rather, my book. Let me continue with Dr. DeHaan's statement. Quote, the result of this tendency, that is, of these new translations and so on, the dangers that he's sounding the alarm, the result of this tendency is now becoming apparent. For these translations into modern English have resulted in several recent attempts, not a Bible in modern English, but in unashamed modernistic English. Modernistic English. He continues, Dr. DeHaan says, the first attempts and many attempts since were quite harmless. But the trend has blossomed out in an outright denial of the infallible inspiration of the Word of God. Unquote. Dr. DeHaan is getting down to basic bedrock truth, is he not? The attack on the inspiration and infallibility of the Word of God in some of these versions, which are now not in modern English, but modernistic English. He's talking about some of these. He's going to get into detail. You wait. You listen. Let me continue. Quote, that you may know that my fear on this loose, deceitful, irresponsible handling of the Word of God is not a personal opinion. I want to quote the opinions of a number of highly respected, thoroughly qualified Bible students. Concerning this Bible revision competition, Dr. S.H. Sutherland, president of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, BIOLA, writes in the King's Business, September 1961. Let me pause right here and say, BIOLA certainly has changed, has it not? But listen, this is Bible Institute of Los Angeles. But this is Dr. Sutherland. He says, quote, we do not appreciate in the least the tendency to downgrade the King James Version. These translators of the contemporary English versions have not strengthened the significance of the Word of God in their translations in the least. Rather, they themselves have produced an inferior translation, both in type of expression and certainly in doctrinal content. It seems to be quite the fad to read from these modern translations. It will be interesting to see how long this particular fad lasts. He continues, this is a quote from, in the King's Business, Dr. S.H. Sutherland, former president of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. One must always consider the theological position of the translators. Oh, my friend, we're going to stop here for this broadcast. I want to urge you, please, don't stop listening next week to this broadcast, whatever time it comes on. I want you to get into the swing of it, the feel of it, to know the attacks that are being made upon our Bibles, especially our King James Bible, by these modernistic versions in English that are altering theological positions. And the theological positions of the translators, very important. This is why we believe the theological positions of Westcott and Hort are important, because they gave us their false Greek text. They didn't even believe it was perfect and infallible as it was written from the original writers. And they thought there may be mistakes in that. It's important indeed. Tune in next week, would you? Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to order for you, Defending the King James Bible. And we'll send it to you if you call us, and we'll tell you how to get it. Call us direct if you want, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast.